Out of the pocket, McCarthy keeps the play alive.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Long throw across the field.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Chris Jenkins Jr., want to chime in on the conversation that J.J. McCarthy might not be top five worthy?
I don't know if he's saying that. Respectfully, they're tripping because he's obviously 100% a top five quarterback.
Today's guests, Colts general manager Chris Ballard, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, actor and host Dulé Hill, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, yes. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. My goodness, you know, the NHL playoff field is set. There were no NBA games last night. Major League Baseball had about two games. So the biggest news we come on the air with is that Taylor Swift dropped an album at midnight last night, and then 2 hours later revealed it's a double album. She dropped another album 2 hours later, wow, which means the Kansas City Chiefs will win the NFL draft. That's the way we're coming on the air today.
Yeah, you wake up in the morning and you check your timeline. You're like, did I miss anything overnight? Anything happened on the East Coast while we were sleeping?
Yeah.
Nope. My whole timeline is talking about Taylor Swift.
That's it.
There's two songs about Kelsey, apparently.
That's correct.
Apparently. And Goodbye London or Hello London.
I came home last night from a school event, and Xander was already listening to the first entire album, and he says, this is good for Travis, Dad.
Oh.
This is what he said.
Oh.
He was giving me what he thought I wanted to know about this information.
They were at Coachella over the weekend.
Look, all I know is that the Chiefs are winning the NFL draft right now.
We can go home now.
That's correct. Maybe she'll be in Detroit. Who knows? But at any rate, the NBA play-in tournament wraps up tonight. The NBA playoffs begins this weekend. 1 week from today, we will know what happened in the first round of the NFL draft. We will be in Detroit wrapping everything up with our third day of our Detroit residency next week. We'll be live on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We say hello to our podcast listeners as well, checking us out every single day whenever you darn well please through your ear gate, thanks to the Cumulus Podcast Network. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to have a chat with us throughout the day. Three guests at the end of this hour, an actual bona fide general manager of the National Football League, accepted our invitation to talk a week before the draft, which means Chris Ballard will be lying from start to finish. What a way for me to welcome him to this program.
It's flying season. You know what I mean?
No. Chris Ballard, this is great. He has no ability to lie. Like, the guy cannot. He's just walking.
He's the one GM who can't lie.
He seriously is walking sodium pentothal, this guy. He is a walking lie detector test.
Yeah, chop down a cherry tree next.
I know. It's going to be a great chat when he joins us.
From Liar Liar.
He's
going to,
pretty much, GM. He's
it's
joining
not a
us.
Lie. If you believe.
That's correct. And Chris Ballard's joining us. And he's going to be on the record. Now, Tom Pelissero spoke to a bunch of people, coaches, scouts, executives, coordinators, dozens of them, and said, you can be anonymous. Just tell me what you think of these quarterbacks available in this year's draft class. 13,000 words later, he's joining us
on this program. It's one of the best articles every draft season, man. It's so good.
And sure enough, you know, he tiers them round one, two, three, what have you, and how many quarterbacks are going to be having a first-round grade based upon the opinions of dozens of unnamed executives, which means a lot of salacious talk, a lot of F-bombs, got a lot of dashes put in there. Long story short, he's joining us an hour or two with a lot of great information. And Dulé Hill will be on this program. Many of you know him from The West Wing. Many of you know him from Ballers, Suits, making a major renaissance comeback back from the, you know, he's joining us on this program later on in hour number three in studio. PBS, The Expressway with Dulé Hill He is joining us in person, talking PBS and all these other aspects. I can't believe we're less than a week from the draft, and it's good to see you, Chris.
Hey, Rich.
Jason Feller, good to see you.
What's up, Rich?
You know what? Now that I see you here today, I understand why those cones were around those manhole covers outside of Fox today, because Del Tufo went underneath the ground to connect the wires for this weekend's UFL
like
game.
Ghostbusters 2?
The thing went
he's
right
like down there.
There
looking for stuff.
Yeah, he's personally moving manhole covers.
Ready?
Yeah. Couldn't be here today to make sure you get your UFL. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. What's going on, sir?
Hey, it's good to be seen, and I'm kind of happy to admit I knew nothing of any double album. That none of that talk got into my
Midnight last night, 9 p.m. Pacific. 9 p.m. Pacific. She dropped a whole album, and then thank goodness Zan went to sleep, because if he knew an entire other album was coming that night, he would have just hopped himself up on whatever sugar he could go find and steal and eat it.
Luckily, my timeline is just all pro wrestling and Biggie.
Oh, great.
So that's all I really see.
Well done.
So at any rate, that's how we're rolling into we've got today rolling.
Right.
Adam Peters, the general manager of the Washington Commanders, spoke just as we were going off the air yesterday. And clearly, this is the inflection point of this draft. We've been talking about it. Daniel Jeremiah was a guest on What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. That's up there for everybody to listen to on your in your podcast and your podcast Eargate, as well as checking it out on YouTube. He said flat out, the draft starts with the Washington Commanders, because we're all saying Caleb Williams is going number one overall. And so clearly everybody's wondering what they're thinking of the Washington Commanders, fresh off of them having every prospect known to man inside their building in one get-together, one little family picnic. The Washington Commanders threw for 22 prospects. Could you imagine you're one of the prospects there, and you're looking around, and you're like, oh, man, I shouldn't have asked my buddy, is he coming to the Washington Commanders the other day? Because he's not there. Could you imagine you're one of those people? You know,
are you going to Rich's birthday party? What party?
Right.
You're calling up.
What party? What are you talking about?
You're calling up. You're snap, and all of a sudden you see Penix is in Ashburn, Virginia. You're not.
Thanks for the invite.
Well, at any rate, what'd you glean from it, Adam Peters? Where are you right now? What are you thinking? Because everybody wants to know what you're thinking, so everyone else can make their draft moves.
Yeah, we're real close. There's still a few more things in the process we have to do, and as you guys maybe getting, I'm pretty process driven, process oriented. So we have to debrief on our 30 visits with the whole staff, talk about everybody there that we haven't done that yet. And then later tonight we have a medical meeting as well to go over all the medicals and the combine and get that information as well, and just ask pointed questions if there are any on certain players, if we have some questions on that. So so we have a few more things. DQ and I will huddle up and probably have an answer really sometime next week. Now, I will say this also, you know, you don't really need to make a decision until you need to make a decision. So there's no rush with that. But I think we'll have a pretty good idea what we're doing early next week.
Yes, you will. They know what they're doing right now. I mean, process-oriented, I understand it. And it's going to take a lot to sift through the top 30 visits, since they had 22 of them all at once this past week. How many staff members is that? Did one staff member get a kid? Were they like their own?
Like a chaperone?
Yeah, well, you know, like a campus visit. You got somebody who welcomes you at the airport, picks you up, brings you in.
They didn't throw them all in a van, right?
Who knows? Like, they threw everybody in the same top 30 visit.
Just one guy at the airport, and it's like 14 names.
Yeah, that's right. that Browns fan who had the jersey of all the names of the quarterbacks that Joe Thomas protected.
Daniels, May,
on one jersey.
Penix.
There you go.
It's like actors felt when they go to an audition and you walk into a room and there's 20 dudes that all look exactly you and are dressed like
dressed
you. And
the same way.
They're all up
I can't get
role.
Enough of this top 30 visit. I can't get enough of it.
Because it's so absurd.
It is. You know, and
what are we doing?
And we'll ask Tom Pelissero what his reporting on all that is. And is it true that Daniels and Penix and McCarthy and May all shared a car, and they were all upset because Drake May packed a bag, and they had to wait for his bag to come off the carousel there at Dulles Airport.
That's what I want to know. Did somebody check a bag?
Who checked a bag? That's a red flag. I would not draft that person, as you know.
Like Sam Darnold wearing a hat.
That would be terrible.
I can feel it.
See, Brockman and I look at it as that person thinks critically, and they think for themselves.
Ahead. Yeah, they're planning ahead.
Because you know what, Chris? They all know. What if you got to go to a fancy dinner?
Fancy
what if you
dinner.
In all honesty, I think it's just going to come down to what I heard at the combine. Because an evaluation is basically the eye in the sky plus the medical. And then comes the rest of the stuff to grind the decision down to the ultimate, which is the decision you don't have to make until you have to make one, to use Adam Peters' phrase. And I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels. And the reason why latest is because what Adam Peters had to say when he was asked about trading the pick. You heard Joe Shane, he was kind of open for business for the Giants. And you heard Elliott Wolf basically say, I am holding up a sign to say we are open for business for the third overall pick here.
We'll trade for food.
Here's what Adam Peters said about trading the pick.
Adam, are you still considering trading down, or have you guys decided to use that number two pick?
We feel great about staying at number two. I don't see a whole lot of scenarios where we trade down, to be honest with you. Yeah, we feel great about sticking there.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, his answer could also have been essentially, you know, is Mike Ditka going to trade his entire draft to us? I don't think he's in somebody's draft room anymore.
No.
Honestly.
That really happened.
Can you believe that for Ricky Williams? My goodness gracious.
I mean,
seriously. So it's Jaden Daniels. It's going to be Jaden Daniels. I heard it was Jaden Daniels at the combine. I heard that they loved him straight from the get-go. They loved his tape. And let's just see if the medical was going to check out. Let's just see if they learned anything kind of crazy between the combine and the time when they have to make a decision. And I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels. And welcome to the NFC East, Jaden Daniels. Jaden versus Dak. Jaden versus Jalen twice a year. And then Jaden versus Tommy Cutlets, Drew Locke. Or J.J. McCarthy or Daniel Jones. And then let's see what this kid can do and go to work. And, you know, as you'll hear from Tom Pelissero later on in hour number two, based on the consensus of everybody, the two things that there are red flags about him is he's slight of build and he takes hits. And the other thing is the way that he left Arizona State, but that's so many moons ago. But this stuff all gets parsed out and drilled down. Well, this is Jaden Daniels is going to be a Washington Commander. And then it's going to be Caleb Williams is going to be Jaden Daniels. And then the question is, do the Patriots like Drake May enough? Or do they get the Godfather offer from somebody who loves Drake May enough? Because they, unlike the Commanders, have a virtually empty cupboard. Because I did make this statement yesterday, and I'll repeat it again, and this is no offense. I don't intend to offend, but I just speak what I believe. Outside of Ramondre Stevenson, you look at the Patriots roster offensively, and I know this is not the metric by which you're measured to win games or not in the NFL, but how many players are you going to take in the top 10 rounds of your fantasy football draft currently on the Patriots offensive roster? You even looked at that, Chris.
You even looked at that. I looked it up the other day, ESPN, some fantasy rankings from like a month ago. And I think Ramondre Stevenson was the 18th running back, but then
Pop Douglas?
Yeah, Demario Douglas was 51 at wide receiver.
And he's got some ability,
but even that felt high.
Like I said yesterday, Hunter Henry would be.
But he was.
Hunter Henry was the 25th tight end.
So that's top 10 rounds.
And again, fantasy and reality football are two totally different things because obviously, you know, Hunter Henry's, these guys can bring blocking skills. They can bring special team skills. They can bring, you know, skills in the locker room, leadership and things of that nature. But that's just my way of saying, boy, do the Patriots have holes to fill. And if they can move down to six and they feel like somebody is going to give them enough capital to move off of Drake May and look Robert Kraft in the face inside that draft room and say, Mr. Kraft, trust us. Trust the process. We know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they move down and they do get J.J. McCarthy. I don't know. They move back up and get him. They move around just like what Arizona did. But later on, we're going to give you some draft nuggets about why Arizona might not trade out. They may not trade out at all. And the reason why may just be numbers. We'll talk about that. But I think I'm confident going into the weekend before the draft, into my weekend of the run. I'm running my 40-yard dash at the Rose Bowl on Sunday. StJude.org/RunRichRun. Please give whatever you can for the kids of St. Jude and the folks who are researching at St. Jude to keep kids healthy. I'm fully confident. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and then the Patriots are on the clock. And we'll see what happens. I think if I had to guess right now, I think you got Drake May coming. And the Cardinals are on the clock.
Love it.
And we'll see what happens. Tom Pelissero, we'll talk about that with him. When we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're going to get to those draft appetizers. Is that what we're doing? Is that what we decided what we're doing? Well, you're great. And I'll explain to you why I think the Arizona Cardinals might actually stay put when it's all said and done. And then there's a couple of teams that are sitting in draft positions going into the draft that they haven't been in a long, long time. Give you that sort of heads up before Chris Ballard joins us. The Indianapolis Colts head coach, general manager, joins us. And here's what I'm going to get him to do. Show us his draft board. It'll be great. So that's going to be a lot of fun with an actual bona fide general manager in the National Football League willing to talk on camera mere days before the draft.
How'd you do it?
You know, we asked.
Oh, that's simple.
Send us a screen grab of like the big board. You know
why
I mean?
Not?
Just like, hey, take a picture.
Yeah, he's gonna take a picture. So, oh, look, Harrison's on the big board, and it's his Marvin Sr. on the stadium. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. What are you talking about over there?
Felly was asking me who the Kings are playing in the first round of the hockey playoffs.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
They're playing Edmonton.
Not good.
Not good for the Kings.
Nope.
Okay. Why? Is it because Gretzky's going to come down? And
yeah, and Messier and Jari Kurri.
Or the modern-day Gretzky.
Yeah.
Dude, McDavid. When Connor McDavid so steps good. On the ice... You do not have to ask where he is.
No. Nope. Who's the best player on the ice?
He kind of like steps. He looks like that guy. He's like Wembanyama. Like he steps on the court and he's just bigger than most.
Faster. You know? Bigger.
He's got like the blue outline.
Stronger. Yeah. He good.
Fast.
He good.
You know? You've got the Leafs, bud.
We got the Leafs. Not worried.
Why? Why? Because it's the Leafs? Are you really going to go there? Because I mean, at some point, sorry, that broken last, clock's going to be
last
right.
Last time they won was...
It doesn't
the
matter.
40s?
Dude, at some point... Look at you. You just forget what the Red Sox used to be. You forget. And then that broken clock was Rich, not just right once.
I get old.
It wasn't just
older,
right twice.
Forget things.
That broken clock became right three times, Chris.
Sorry, that last one in 60. I don't want to shortchange Leafs fans.
No,
out
I'm
there.
Just saying, like, how do you, how of all people that should understand that at some point.
Last year, the Bruins were the best team, hold on a second, in NHL history.
And then what happened?
Lost in the first round.
Correct. So.
You know,
you just made.
I'm figuring
what
it's, like a, it's like a Virginia situation. They lose to the 16, then they win the title the next year. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm banking on that to happen for the Bees.
You want just because you want the cup to come back and you'll put
I'm honestly,
Cage
I'm
right on the top.
The most casual hockey fan. I know that. I only care. In
well,
the
you'll do that hockey.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So hockey said. Playoffs beginning. Fantastic. Very good to know. All right. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Terzo in Iowa is chiming in. He usually calls in on a Friday. Good to chat with you. All rise. Terzo, how are you, sir?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Oh, no.
He's not there?
We lost reception at Carl's.
All right, put him back on hold, man. I don't know what happened. Is he in jury selection? Is that what's happening?
Is he sleeping like Trump?
Excuse me. Resting his eyes.
Oh, sorry.
Please.
No Diet Cokes in court.
Okay, very good.
He's gone.
And
then he left.
And he left.
That wasn't me. I think that was Adam.
Oh, sure, though.
Okay. That is Adam, our call screener. He's just so excited about Caleb Williams. He can't handle himself. He's dropping calls.
Weird crew.
He's dropping calls.
Bulls playing tonight. Listen, no Jimmy Butler.
Listen, you have one job.
Bulls might advance.
You have one job.
Well, and the Kings might advance too, right? Because
there's
no Zion.
No Zion tonight.
Do you think both road teams win?
Feels like it. Feels like. I mean, look, Miami's a tough place to play.
Oh, so let me ask you a question. Who's rooting for the Bulls more tonight? Adam, our call screener, the diehard Bulls fan of this place, or you? Who wants to see
you want the Heat to pull this out, so you want a
Jimmy Butler-less
Heat team.
I wanted
to play Miami, but I wanted Jimmy Butler to play because it wouldn't have mattered. We would have swept them anyway. I wanted to rip their hearts out because their fans are the worst.
Okay. Now, have you, for later on in hour three, set up what's more likely?
I have what's
to
more likely.
Finally put in front of the Rich Eisen Show nationally televised audience and internationally streamed and listened to
international shout
radio audience
back in the day.
We're big in Japan.
Are you
bro.
Finally going to put that out there?
Honestly, we got to see how what's more likely goes.
What does that mean?
If I'm having a good segment, if you're picking sides, if you're not riding the fence, TJ's involved, I'm going to get Felly involved, whatever his outfit
we
is.
We discussed
today.
This yesterday.
And then we're going to, you know, if I'm feeling it, we're going to bam, we're going to do it.
His take on the Celtics in the playoffs, you are trying, TJ, to get him to say it for weeks.
He's got
one more show in which to put it out there, and today's that day. Because it's involving the NBA playoffs, which begins this weekend for the Boston Celtics.
I don't know if I want him to say it, because then once he says it, people are going to come at him with furious, great vengeance and furious anger. And I don't know if I want that for him, necessarily.
I mean, I got Ezekiel 25-17 just locked and loaded on these folks.
Terzo's back on the air. All rise. What's up, Terzo?
Hey, sorry about that, guys.
What the hell, man?
I know, man.
What happened?
I just got a weird phone call from the court, and I had to jump on.
Oh my goodness.
Terzo. Everybody be quiet.
Terzo.
Excuse me.
Terzo, I need to ask you a point blank question, and you have to give me a straight answer. Was it Stormy Daniels?
No, it was not.
Okay.
It was not with Stormy Daniels.
All right.
No.
Just had to know. Now we can move on.
If I could tell you, I would.
It was Sonny Leone.
Oh, God.
What's up, Terzo?
Rich, as a secret Swiftie, I still haven't listened to the new release, but I plan on putting it on the jukebox at Carl's this afternoon. And, play it next so everybody has to listen to it with me.
Mm-hmm.
Attaboy.
And I'm kind of excited for that.
Attaboy.
But I think about like 2 weeks ago, I called in and I think I said that the Bucks were going to get bounced in the first round. And then I think you guys talked about it a little bit last week as a possibility. I just don't, with that team and where they're at right now, I just don't foresee them having the strength to get through the East. And I think a sneaky team, if Embiid is healthy, is those 76ers. And I think Brockman's a little scared to give his opinion because I think those 76ers might be kind of scaring him.
Oh no. Terzo.
Hold on, I got to clean my
No,
ears
no,
up.
No. It's okay. Terzo, you've offended two-thirds of the Rich Eisen show with that comment. Chris obviously laughed it off, and you have led me into something I wanted to say. So thank you for that, Terzo. I forgot to say it yesterday. That's we didn't have the time to say it yesterday. Thank you, Terzo, and enjoy listening to the double album in front of everybody there at Carl's. That'll be fantastic. Let me know how that went.
You guys have a great weekend.
Terzo in Iowa.
See you, Terzo.
Terzo in Iowa. There he goes. So he's saying that the Sixers are the team that will surprise and suddenly maybe threaten you. Mm-hmm. Your Celtics atop the Eastern Conference in a way that preseason folks were supposing.
Yeah.
They had a shot to do with the Bucks, however, preseason. That was the team because they had just added Dame Lillard. And now we're entering the playoffs and the Bucks are the 3 seed, having dropped from the 1 because the Celtics were generationally incredible. And from the 2 seed because they just... You know, they fired the coach middle of the season and they were spinning their wheels enough to, you know, let others catch up and then Giannis gets hurt. And so the Bucks are 3, the Sixers are 7 because Embiid missed how many games? Half the season, pretty much?
30. What,
pretty much.
82 minus 30.
Well, I mean, that's just in one fell swoop. But then there were all those times where he was load managing and resting and all that business. Long story short is the Knicks are the 2 seed. Not because that they have arguably the best player in the Eastern Conference of the 2023-24 season. Not because they are a gritty bunch that has overcome injuries. No. It's because Giannis got hurt. And when they pounded the Celtics in the last couple weeks of the season, it's because the Celtics had nothing to play for. And so now the Sixers are constituted again like they were going into the season. And is it true there's a certain spot in the United States where Mo Green has no plaque or a signpost that says the Sixers are expected to win the series, right?
It's actually flipped a little bit.
Ah, well, that's good.
It's
to hear.
It's basically even.
Okay, yeah, all right, very good. So I get it.
The Knicks money.
You know what? The Knicks should just do what the Eagles did in 2018. Get the dog masks out and warm up in the dog masks and win it all. You know
why not?
Right?
Why not?
Dante DiVincenzo will be the Nick Foles. Plus, you know,
playing like him.
A third of the team it played in Philadelphia. You know, in college. So.
Won titles in Philadelphia.
Say that again?
They won titles in Philadelphia.
Right. Very good.
That series is going to be nuts, man.
I can't wait for it.
That being said, Joel Embiid exists and he walks on the earth and he's the most unstoppable player in basketball.
He limps on the earth.
That's him limping is still better than 90% of the NBA.
He falls weird on the earth.
You know.
What else?
He puts up 35 a game.
He gets weirdly injured in the playoffs.
He apparently told France he wants to play for them for the Olympics and he's not going to do that.
That's weird. Yeah. What else?
No one turns their back on France. Who turns their back on France? Most of the world.
A lot of weirdos in the comment section upset that he's playing for America. And
let me get to this, guys. I've got some draft appetizers for you.
Oh, I'm hungry.
NFL draft appetizers, and guess what? It's presented by Applebee's right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Oh, look at that. I got a chef's hat on.
Right.
It's a knife. There's no knife, just a fork and a spoon.
Who needs a knife?
Applebee's,
I'll
baby.
Have the boneless wings, please.
Yes, indeed.
Jalapeno poppers.
And I look at the NFL shield on there, too. I'll tell you why in a second. Yeah. Oh, this is great.
I like Applebee's.
So here are my draft appetizers for you, because we're a few days removed from the National Football League draft right now. And I love these nuggets right here. They're appetizers, these apps for you. And do you know who has the most picks going into the National Football League 2024 draft? A very deep draft and certain positions that you need to protect your quarterback lineman, to sack a quarterback not so deep at the top, but there's enough guys in this draft. Then clearly, wide receivers, catch the ball from your quarterback, or if you need a quarterback. You want to have a lot of picks in this draft. And you want to guess? You want to guess?
The Bears?
No, sir. That's exact opposite. Wait till you hear on that front. The most total picks belongs to three teams. The Cardinals, Packers, and Rams each have 11.
Whoa.
The 49ers, Bengals, and Bills each have 10. Now, for the Bills, a deep wide receiver draft, that's good because, you know, your top two aren't there anymore.
Yeah, they go.
They got to move up.
And if you're the Arizona Cardinals, why do you need more picks? You know what you need for Kyler Murray after Hollywood Brown's gone? Now, you do have Rondale Moore. Why wouldn't you just sit there at four and welcome Marvin Harrison Jr. to the desert?
Yeah, that's what they better do.
Why don't unless you get the Godfather offer from somebody who wants J.J. McCarthy. But if you don't, what do you need? You need 12 picks, 13 picks, 14? What are you going to do? You can't sign them all either. Now, maybe you say, I need one next year.
Right.
I need one next year. I'll move down, but I need one next year, and I need a couple more this year.
Yeah.
But I'll take one next year.
I need to take two or three next
year. Now, next year wouldn't be a bad idea. But if you don't throw in a next year, I'm Monty Austin Ford. I'm saying pound sand. I got 11 of them. And in terms of the Packers and the Rams, how about this? The last time the Packers not only have 11 picks, they have five in the top 91. Ooh. The last time they drafted five players that early in an NFL draft was back in 2006 when Ted Thompson took five in the first 75. You know who he took? The first one was a guy who's hanging with Pat every day.
Oh.
A.J. Hawk. And then Greg Jennings was taken in that first five as well. So it's been a while. Ted Thompson was the last GM to draft five in the first 91 of an NFL draft. And now here comes Brian Gutekunst with a rarity for this organization. But not nearly as rare as the LA Rams, the team that has famously effed all the picks, has 11. Would you care to guess? Well, don't guess. I'll just tell you. The last first round selection for the Los Angeles Rams.
17?
No. Incorrect.
Todd Gurley?
No. Jared Goff.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
In 2016, when they moved from St. Louis back to Los Angeles, wanted a splash, they traded up for Goff.
Right.
That's the last pick, which means the last time they used a first-round draft choice, Sean McVay was the offensive coordinator for D.C., and Puka Nacua was a high school freshman. Sean McVay has not had a first-round selection as head coach of the L.A. Rams. And in this entire span, you know what the Rams did by not having a first-round selection? Six winning seasons, five playoff seasons, three NFC West titles, two Super Bowl appearances, and one trophy in the case. Could you imagine now that they have 11 picks? Uh-huh. Now, how about this draft appetizer? Least picks. You ready for this one? Team with the least picks? The team that you guessed had the most.
Oh, really?
Bears have just four picks.
Oh,
that's
wow.
It. Four picks. Browns, Dolphins, and Giants have six.
Maybe they should trade number one.
Nice. Well, if at least for the Bears, two of their four picks are top 10.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
So they have top 10 and then smoke them if you got them, if you're a Bears fan. So, and another reason why maybe the Giants aren't going to trade up, they got six picks. They got holes to fill. They have holes to fill, man. And so if they trade up, they might have only like three picks in this entire draft. One would think they'd have to use a couple in this year's draft to trade up. And they might have to dip into next year, too. Interesting food for thought. The Cardinals have 11. The Giants have six going into this draft. And they're going to make a trade with each other? Obviously, it doesn't matter how many picks you give up if you go and draft the right quarterback.
Yeah, seems unlikely.
But the Dolphins have only six, the Browns have six, and the Bears have just four. So they'll draft two in the top 10, we assume, and then sit back, hit Rush Street, You know, go to the Wiener Circle.
Go to Gibson.
But have your order right if you go there.
You're going to get cussed
out. So that's those are my draft appetizers presented by Applebee's. And that's the official grill and bar of the National Football League.
All right.
Celebrate the NFL draft with 20 free boneless wings with any $40 online purchase from Thursday, April 25th through Saturday, April 27th. It's the start of a delicious partnership between Applebee's and the NFL. Let's take a break. When we come back, Chris Ballard of the Indianapolis Colts is going to show us his entire draft board. That's going to be great. Wait a minute. What? Oh, maybe not. I'll ask. Can't hurt.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the program, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We've got our friend Chris Ballard about to zoom into this program with the Indianapolis Colts, the general manager. Look forward to chatting with him. So we got that going. The last time I saw him was at the NFL Scouting Combine. You coming by to the run Sunday or no?
I think it's going to work out. We have a birthday party later that afternoon on that side of town, so I think it kind of works out.
All right. Are you coming?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's a no. That's okay.
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe. No, that's a no. Let me rephrase that. Do you have in your apartment complex a 40-yard spot that I can run there so you don't have to leave?
Yeah, hallway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your hallway?
Run another 40 in your suit.
That's a good move. Run in the hallway, Rich. I think you should do that.
Running in a hallway?
I think hallway adds, you know what I mean, shaves a tenth.
The hallway's much longer than 40 yards.
Yeah, shaves a tenth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that.
How's the training?
I worked out today. And
have you sprinted 40 yards at all?
let me think. No. I think that's part of the beauty of this, don't you?
I think you're running a risk of, you know.
No, but I'm
tearing something.
No, I appreciate that swing thought, but you know, what do you want me to do? Like actually train? You think I should actually train?
I mean, we've been having the same conversation
for 20 years. It's 20 years.
7-8. It was just you and I personally for like 7 or 8. You know, I want you to your best.
I appreciate
that. For all the Tostitos, baby.
It's a good drop. That one caught me. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, Chris Ballard is logging in from the Indianapolis Colts headquarters as we speak. Just talking about my 40-yard dash. I'm running it at the Rose Bowl on Sunday in front of family and friends gathered there. And I have not. It'll be the first 40 I run. Mm. But I've cut weight.
Yeah.
I've
done a great job there.
I've 100%
very noticeable
hit my weekend of the run. The goal was to be down 15 pounds, and I have hit that goal.
Boom.
I am down 15 pounds from last year's run.
Great job.
So I might not be faster, but one thing that for sure I wanted to address is the super slow-mo replay will not be something I feel like I have to completely look away from.
It's good.
When I saw the super slow-mo replay last year, I'm like, I got to cut the weight.
Okay. We got the shirt, tie, suit picked out?
Got all picked out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, kind enough to join us less than a week before the draft, an actual bona fide general manager in the National Football League, and not just anyone, but somebody who is 1,000,000% incapable of lying. He must always tell the truth. That is very zero filter. The great Chris Ballard of the Indianapolis Colts. Good to see you, Chris. How are you, sir?
Good to see you, too. Thanks, Rich.
Thanks for
Yes. It's your right. So don't ask any questions where you know I'm going to give an answer.
Help me help you, Chris? Is that what you just basically said? You just went full Jerry Maguire on me? Help me help you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
oh, please.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so let me cross out the first question. Chris, show me your draft board. You got it? Is it in that room? Is it in that room, the draft board?
It's not in this. The good news is it's not in this room, so I don't have to lie.
Okay, very good. Okay. But in all seriousness, is that set? I'd love to get the process down here for a general manager in the NFL. Is your draft board set right now, Friday before the draft?
Absolutely not. No. I'd laugh when people give you that crap answer of, you know, our board's set before the combine. You know, we don't make that's a bunch of crap. You know, we're trying to find, we take as much information as we can. We don't ever close the door on something until we feel like we got everything. It'll be set the night before the draft. Like I always tell our scouts and our coaches, like the semen is not dry until we get to draft day. When it's draft day, that cement's dry and it's not moving. But up until that point, we are still having major discussions.
Okay. So, and then what? In terms of, hold on a minute. Let me go with this one. What about potential trades with other teams? Do you already call up colleagues of yours with if, but, possible scenarios? And we'll call you back at another time if that happens, Chris?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and everybody's playing possum. I mean, you call and you talk and, hey, we'd like to either move down or move up. But really, Rich, it's nice because at least people know, you know, you're interested. But until draft day and you get close to your, you know, on the clock, it might be two or three picks out, four or five, just depending on where you want to move. That's when the majority of the discussions start to really take place. I mean, look, there's been teams before that I had no idea wanted to trade up. And I'm getting calls on draft day. Hey, we want to move up. So, of course, you have discussion. I mean, you're talking to other GMs anyways, just because we talk to each other. And we'll talk about, hey, if you're willing to move up, I am. But rarely do you get the answer, hey, will you move down or move up? You don't ever get no.
Don't ever get. So I interesting.
Everybody keeps the door open. Right now, why close the door right now? You know, they keep it open.
Just in case, you know.
Just in case. You never know.
Just in case someone trades you their entire draft, like Ditka years ago, Chris, you never know,
right? I wish I'd get that lucky, but no, that's not happened.
Okay. So you have, will you allow this then? You have called other general managers as of right now to say, we would do this if you would do that, or if a certain time hits, look for my call, draft night, if this is when you're on the clock, that sort of thing?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Are those draft possibilities in that office right now, written down on a piece of paper somewhere in that
Not
office?
At all. I've got a nice thank you note here from a kid that came to our local day, which I thought was really cool.
Nice.
I've got Matt Connie's press notes that he does an unbelievable job getting ready for my press conference that he's incredible. Then I go off script.
How nervous do you make Matt, Chris? How nervous?
Yeah, he's trained me well because I've tamed my potty mouth down. I think he always is more worried about the dirty words that have come out of my mouth just naturally because I'm sometimes, even though I'm educated, you wouldn't know it.
Yes. Exactly right. So, and last year, again, you were kind enough to let the Roku channel and NFL Films cameras into the draft room for that outstanding documentary, The Pick Is In. And just watching you just wait and just hold on for I guess, dear Anthony Richardson, life fourth overall, to see a trade happen right before you, and then you learned it was the Texans again, and you knew you were going to get the quarterback that you were going to get. What do you think of? How do you get through a moment where you know you got to hold tight, Chris? Walk me through stuff like that on a draft night. For you,
it's even better when you got your owner sitting right, your owner and your head coach sitting right next to you. And we don't need to trade up. We'll be fine. We're going to get the guy we want it for. And then all of a sudden there's a trade. And I'm just thinking, oh, you got to be freaking kidding me. And, you know, it gets a little tense moment. But, I mean, we do our work and our research. And we're not 100% always right, but you just feel good about the preparation and work that your team has done to put yourself in position and to hopefully, I mean, it's an inexact science anyways, getting this thing right. But when you're at number four where we were last year, it's a little, I mean, look, there's only three guys that can go in front of you. So it's a little easier to at least hopefully figure that out.
And in terms of Anthony Richardson, how is he, Chris?
He's good. No, he's good. He's throwing. He's not fully cleared medically yet, but he's getting close. He's worked really hard to come back. I mean, I think I told y'all at the combine when I saw y'all, Shane and I had watched him throw on that Sunday, and you would never know he was hurt. He threw the other day and looked great. So now it's just building up strength, making sure he finishes the rehab the correct way, and get moving forward so he'll be ready for OTAs, which we think he will be.
Give me some insight, because I heard this, offline at the combine about how much of a professional he is already, despite having snaps on the field. Well, reveal the curtain, pull back the curtain a little bit on what he's been like around the building, despite not playing, Chris.
Look, with any player that gets hurt, it's hard on him because it's hard to feel a part of it. I mean, it's human nature. And what I really appreciated about Anthony was, sometimes, and like I told him, I said, there's always light in the darkness, Anthony. And I said, I know right now it feels dark, but if you can use this time to really grow, both physically as you rehab, but also mentally. And he went to work. And he's a really fun kid to be around. He's just, what I love the most about, he's the same guy every day. Like, there's not these high highs and lows with him, that, some people have and some players have. He's the same guy every day. And I know he spent a lot of time working, with not only with me, just visiting about life in general, but then Shane and, our staff. It was great for him to learn. Sometimes watching is a good thing.
Well, and in terms of getting him some more weaponry, obviously you got things done with Michael Pittman Jr., and there's a ton of really good wide receivers in this draft, including some that might not be there by the time that you're 15th overall. And I'll just go straight through the front door with you, Chris, as I always do. Any thoughts of looking up at that Ring of Honor and putting Marvin's kid in a blue horseshoe on the side of the helmet 8-9 times a year in Lucas Oil with his dad's name on that stadium, Chris?
Sure there is. When I go into the fantasy land, he's a talented guy. But there's also a lot of other good talented players, in the draft. But he's a very talented young man. Of course, raised, the right way by Marvin. I've gotten to know Marvin, being here in Indy, and I enjoy Marvin a lot. And, he's done a really good job raising his sons, and they are very, very talented young men. I mean, he's got a younger one, I think, is very talented too. But Marvin is definitely a unique talent.
Okay. And when you say fantasy land, it would be just too high to go up to from 15 to go get him?
You've always got to have two to do it. And it would be very difficult. It'd be very difficult.
Two isn't first round picks, you mean? Is that what you're saying?
It'd be very difficult to, no, two team. You got to have another team that's willing to trade with you to get up that high. And that's not exactly been my nature, to move up and give up what it would take to get that high. Now, he's a really good player, and I don't want to downgrade that, but it'd be very difficult for us to get up that high.
And was the draft and how deep it is part of the reason why you weren't as active in free agency as some other teams, Chris?
No, I mean, I don't know if we signed a bunch of good players, and they just happened to be our own.
Right.
I think sometimes we forget that. I mean, Grover Stewart's a really good football player. Kenny Moore's a really good football player. Michael Pittman's a really good. I mean, these are good players. Julian Blackman's a really good player. Look, I'm always going to lean our way, especially when they're good players. I mean, we dabbled with some guys and we went and we just didn't get them. I mean, that happens. But I just truly believe, like, we know, I've always said this, that who your guys are. You don't always know in free agency who you're getting. I mean, there's usually a reason they're in free agency, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but there's usually a reason. And, you know, I felt really comfortable, and we felt really comfortable with, you know, getting our guys back. There was other guys we went, you know, after two. We just didn't work out, and the players we got back are really good football players.
All right, and to turn you into a pundit before I let you go, Chris, do you think four quarterbacks go to start this draft? Clearly you're out of that market, but what do you think?
No. I've definitely thought about it because it pushes all these other guys down, right, which is a good thing.
Right.
I wish, can we get five or six? Well, that'd be awesome.
It could be five in the first. You know, 11, 12, 13, they're all quarterback needy, according to all of us in the punditry. So, yeah, there could be four, five, could even be six that go before you.
Oh, that would be awesome. I mean, that'd be awesome, Rich. And like, you get that done, I'm on your show whenever you want me.
You know, I can't. No one else is showing me their draft board either, Chris, you know? But you're the one kind enough to say yes a few days before the draft. It was great to see you at the combine. Great to see you on my screen.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, thank Chris. You. I always appreciate you. Thank
right,
you.
Right back at you. Thanks, Chris Ballard. That's yeah, Chris Ballard, the GM of the Indianapolis Colts. I love that guy, man. He's honest, right?
He's very, very honest.
He's not going to tell you I'm drafting this guy, but he's like, oh, that would be amazing. Let's keep everybody draft quarterbacks in front of us. And yes, he has called general managers to say, we're interested in your pick if our guy is there. Clearly not going to say if our guy's there, but who's your guy? Somehow the GM might say back, well, who's your guy? We might want that guy. So that's the end of that.
Right.
But I don't think you're going to share those conversations. But there's general parameters. What would it take for me to move up from 15 to your spot? Well, this is what it would take. Okay, thanks. Great. Or let me think about it. Or I'll get back to you. And then comes back and says that. And he writes it down, puts it in a drawer, although not in that office. Pops it out if it's that time. And say, remember what we talked about? God, I love the wheeling and the dealing and the behind the scenes and all that stuff. Tom Pelissero talking to some unnamed GMs and scouts on the quarterbacks. Hour two. You know,
it's like draft day, you know, all the fun stuff going on behind the
scenes.
That's
right.
I think Rich might remember that a little bit.
Vontae Mack, no matter what.
Yeah. No matter what. I like to tweet that every year during the draft.
Vontae Mack, no matter what.
Just I screenshot that part when he's on the post-it note.
I will never forget being in that draft day scene with Frank Langella.
Frank Langella.
You know,
owner of the Browns.
Oscar nominated and Tony Award winning, I believe. And there he was playing the owner of the Browns, mm-hmm, coming to the set at the NFL draft in Radio City Music Hall. And I'm like, okay, the script will just be on my desk because it just looks like notes, right?
Right.
And I just didn't have it in my hands. And he walked up to the set for the first time with sunglasses on. It looked exactly what you would think Frangello would just walking in. And he goes, would you like to run lines?
And you're like,
I didn't know my lines at all. Because so I was going to read them off the script. And I'm like, sure. Yes. Like, and he goes, would you like to do it on the set? And I'm like, absolutely. Why don't you go up there? I'll be right there. I'll be right there, Frank. And I grabbed it, put it on, and I ran lines with Frank Langella, reading straight off of my script.
Nice. And now you get 8 cents.
Totally unprofessional with Frank. Fantastic. We'll never forget Mike Mayock telling the director of the film, who also directed Stripes, the great Ivan Reitman, how that movie went downhill when you went to Germany. Like, my goodness gracious. Only movie he knows, though. All right, back with Hour 2, Tom Pelissero coming up.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.